allow himself the indulgence at all in egoistic feelings, in egoistic emotions, feelings of self-importance. So one mandar said the shanta, the ispe the shanta lesbe, means that if a person doesn't have, doesn't, if a person involves himself, is given over to egoistic enjoyments, so he should be in cherub. That's wrong. And mishanta lesbe means a person doesn't allow himself at all any egoistic enjoyments, not at all, so he also is wrong. Kloma, shein lo liyos shval ruach harakotz acha. He shouldn't be so low that people should degrade him, and he should be concerned somewhat about his stature, somewhat. So he says, "Achbeninus, yikachlo, achbeninus, yikachlo gas, yikachlo." So he shouldn't degrade himself totally. He'll not allow himself anything, any enjoyments, because then people will result that if he deals with himself emotionally like that, then people will degrade him. All right, it means to say that he should have a certain amount of should retain a certain amount of self dignity, self respect. Okay. Vachrina b'shanta just beklal. Others said no. They shouldn't have any. They shouldn't be involved at all in any feelings of self-importance. He says shekol kachi midorosh atzarf esrachim mina herchad gamal. V'lo yed bal mina kolita. He shouldn't be concerned at all with in involving himself in any feelings of self-importance at all. Kedas Rebbe Levitas. That's what Levitas meant when he said ma'od ma'od have his power off. Ma'od ma'od means that you should completely devoid yourself of involvement personally in any feelings of self-worth or self-importance. You should not involve yourself at all in that. Okay, it means that he should frustrate that part of his nature which strives for self-importance completely. He says, "Minatam shekosavnu," and it's interesting. Rabbeinu Yonah says, "V'chein halacha." V'chein halacha. So it's an interesting thing, but we v'chein halacha. Question is, what kind of a psak? I mean, it's not. It doesn't seem to be an area of psak. The Rambam already says that when it comes to philosophical questions, it shouldn't. You can't paskin. You only paskin when it comes to halacha. Well, it seems difficult. So tell me, it's halacha bedracha. Halacha bedracha. Yeah, but here's a question. It's not a question of the halacha bedracha, because halacha bedracha is really means where he reaches total perfection. But now we're speaking in an imperfect state. Should a person involve himself at all in feelings of self-worth? Question is, which way is better for an individual in terms of his own perfection? So it seems that would be something that you can't really paskin on. You can't give a psak on that. I mean, it depends. I mean, if you are convinced, for instance, that let's say you're convinced that the man d'omer that said that b'shamta dispe b'shamta lesbe is correct, then that's the best way to do it. So you're going to tell me no, you still can't do it that way because the halacha was paskin the other way. I mean, it seems difficult to say that when it comes to the reality of perfection, that you should be able to, that you should have a halacha that says this is what it is. I mean, when it comes to the ultimate reality of perfection, when it comes to halachic issue, so that's a different story. Even if you are certain that the all the chachamim are wrong, and you may be right, they may all be wrong, but halacha is that you still have to follow what they say. That's a matter of halacha with regard to maisa. But with regard to perfection, it would seem that you couldn't have such a thing. Because if I'm convinced that the perfection really, the perfected man, in order to attain perfection, it's better to have a modicum of emotion of self-respect and self-worth. So then, what do you mean? You're telling me that halacha is not that way? I mean, you can't dictate the halacha. Can't dictate reality. Halacha is only something I can dictate what when it comes to the actions of the halachic system. But for halacha to dictate and tell me what reality is, I mean, there you can't say this is halacha. And this halacha is very nice when it comes to that paskin that thinks kosher tray for the paskin apron on phone. But not with regard to a reality insofar as human perfection is concerned. If I'm convinced that that's not right, I mean, how can you say it's overruled by the psak? What kind of a psak do you have in such a case? Yeah, it would seem, you know, Gosh Maimon has been done. The Rambam, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, the Rambam paskins that way. The Rambam paskins that way. He paskins against the other Amaroya. So it would seem that he agrees with the Rabbeinu Yonah. This is an area of psak. As the Rambam says, "Vodomu b'shamto man de'izbe gasruch v'chelum etzosa." So the Rambam doesn't bring down the other opinions. I mean, the Rambam doesn't bring down the other opinions. And you say the Rambam happens to agree. The Rambam happens to agree with Rabbi Levitas. I mean, he thinks that he was right and the other ones were wrong. That's hard to say. I mean, it's a machlekes amarayim, and the Rambam wouldn't put it down that he happens to hold that way, so that's why he puts it down that way. Yes, it would seem that the Rambam also agrees with Rabbeinu Yonah. And this is an area that's subject to psak halacha. It's an impossible thing because you can't dictate that a person should believe in a reality that his mind doesn't accept. That means you're usurping his mind. You remove his mind, and there's simply nothing left. It's an impossibility. You can't legislate in mind. Mind is always has to remain free. So how could you ever have a psak halacha in this area? Yeah? That's what Shmuley asked me. That's his view. Doesn't seem that way because he would bring down some chacham said this and some chacham said that. I mean, what do you mean? He's definite. This is the view. And you could say such a thing, but I think if we take a look at the Lashon of Rabbeinu Yonah, I think he gives the answer. He's really good. Really good. He says, "Tzadam abeshamta disbe abeshamta lesbe klal kloma she'ein lo adam lios shefal ruach adakotza achron v'lo yir kol kach." Shofal, Shivazu Bnei Odom, Arbeninus Yikachlo, Gasas Aruach, Yikachbeninus, Yikachlo Gasaruach, Lolis, Nos, Liz Gos, whatever it is, Lola Hashpul Rucho Betafus Ashiflos, Shelo Yovlo Lide Bizoyon, Valze Omru, Bishamta Dispe Gasaruach Abe, Bishamta Lesbe Klau, Ki Eno Odom, Achle Behemos Mugna. You see? In other words, like this. See, this is where Rabbeinu Yonah lands. This is Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Kedesha lo yovel de bizayon." In other words, like this. It seems the way they learned the machlekes. The machlekes wasn't a question of perfection. In terms of perfection, everybody agreed that we should remove that emotion completely. The only thing is that one mandama said, "Bishamta dispe, bishamta lespe." Why? The reason the Gemara uses the term shamta is shamta means chayra. It indicates halachic. But what is the pshat? Yeah, but what is the pshat? The pshat is like this. The pshat is that they held in terms of perfection. You're right. You should really be as low as possible. The only thing is they're afraid that a person would involve himself in that state. He will be unaware of what is going. He'll become unaware of his own importance, and therefore the result will be that he'll do things without consideration as to how they appear with regard to the brios, because a person that's in that frame of mind will not always be able to do things in a way that he'll be completely immersed in his worthlessness, And the result will be that he'll act in a way that people will degrade him. And then it'll be, then he said, I just can't, Adam Achle Behemos. So it'll come out that he'll be Doma to a Behemoth. And therefore, what does that mean? It means that it will degrade the Kavod HaAdam. It will take away from Kavod HaAdam. Yeah, so we, well, so therefore, they said like this, that if a person lives that way, the result will be that on occasion, what will happen is the Kavod HaAdam will be degraded and be neglected. So that's why they said, B'shamta the less bad. They said, no, you can't do that. Why? Because of the question of Kavod HaAdam. What keeps a person? What keeps a person a person's appearance up in terms of all the how a person dresses and all the different things of Madison Avenue and all what keeps society going is monetarily is the is a person's feeling of self-importance. That's the emotion behind all these things. Otherwise, there's no reason for all this. Okay. So therefore, Chazal past they held was a machlokas and halacha. The machlokas and halacha was that a person has no right, even though it's a matter of his own personal perfection, but he has no right to do this because he's going to degrade the Kavod HaAdam, come to degradation of Kavod HaAdam. And others said no. Machlokas was a machlokas and halacha. Others said no, that since his perfection is that he should not cater at all to that emotion, so he doesn't have to be concerned about the Kavod HaAdam. It's not his problem. That was the machlokas halacha, really. Machlokas halacha was which one takes precedence. Do I look at what's going to happen to Kavod HaAdam, or do I look at what I'm supposed to do in terms of imperfection? If it happens, it happens. I can't help myself. So the psak was that you're not machlokas to be concerned about Kavod HaAdam. That's why, since that's what it means, v'chein halacha. It means that, of course, it wasn't a machlokas. This is Rabbeinu Yonah says, what the Rambam both said. Shouldn't make a mistake and think it was a machlokas about perfection. There's no question about it. There's no reason to say that you need a little bit of cover. No, you shouldn't care at all. Be ma'od, ma'od have yishpal roh. There's a halacha question of cover to Adam, which is extremely important. You're not machlokas to worry about it. That was the psak. And that's why the Rambam Paskin away, that's our Benny on the Paskin away. Tikvas Anashrima means all the ideas of grandeur are appropriate to a person when he's alive. But they're not appropriate to the elements that are decaying in the ground. This doesn't make any sense. So therefore, what happens is therefore a person, when he thinks in that framework, must be denying the fact that that his body will simply be a heap of the decaying matter. I mean, he has to be denying that reality. So therefore, it's not realistic. That's the plain shot. Yep. This Mefarish says that it's one of the Rishonim. He says, or early Achronim, I don't know, but he says that it comes out that man is very strange because he looks forward. He says, in 5 years from now, I'll be in a good state. I'm looking forward to that state. But that's 5 years less of life. That means he's closer to death. He doesn't consider that. So Tikvas Anashrima means that man is such an unrealistic creature that he looks forward to something which, by definition, carries with it the greatest loss possible. And yet he's looking forward to it in the hope that a satisfaction of a fantasy is greater to him than the reality, which is he has that much less life. He shouldn't be looking forward to it. See, so apparently, I think the pshat that he's saying is that man is so far gone in terms of being rational that tikvas en hashlima, that he's caught in such a caught up in such a crazy psychological mechanism that what he looks forward to is in reality his own demise. Because, and it's not just a person in his 30s, a person in his 50s, in his 60s, in his 70s too. We look forward, is always looking forward. This, of course, some people get into depression, but I mean, a person that isn't, you know, he's always looking forward. Oh, what's going to happen the next situation is going to be fantastic for me, or whatever he's looking forward to. Always looking forward to the future. But the future, by definition, means that his life is ebbing away, and he's losing life, but he doesn't care. He's still looking forward to it. Like an absurd kind of phenomena that exists in mankind, you see? So what he's saying is that the... what? It comes out that the... Exactly, that the hopes themselves contain Rima. It's as if a person would be... doesn't consider the substance and looks for the accident. I mean, whatever good situation you're going to have is only an accident in your life, but the substance of your life should come first. So he's losing the substance and he's happy because he's gaining an accident. And it seems like a strange kind of percentage. Remote. Looks forward to his retirement years when he'll be old and decrepit and about to die. But he doesn't have to work. That makes him happy. It's a strange phenomenon. Strange phenomenon. See, Immanuel Kant tried to say that this emotion which man has, that he considers himself, so to speak, immortal, he wanted to use it as a proof for the existence of the soul. Mm-hmm. So for the existence of the soul, it must stem from some source, from some realistic source, and that proves that man is eternal. You see, because otherwise, where does it come from? You see? But you see that Yadis does not agree with him. Yadis didn't agree. Yadis thought that this idea comes from the Nefesh HaBahami of man. But it doesn't come from the... on the contrary. Because you see, in all the tefillahs that you say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that Adam Yisod HaMeyofer, Sofa LeYofer, and all those tefillahs do not attempt to justify the emotion. On the contrary, tries to break down the emotion. So it's against what he held. Against what he held, that it's a sign that there's some internal, must be coming from some from the soul. The fact that the soul's immortal, so that's why you have that feeling that you're immortal. A lot of people believe that this feeling stems from the fact, the immortality of the soul, which is calling him and giving him this feeling. But Yadis doesn't accept that. So it's a romantic notion. But it's not a realistic one. It's not a rational argument, no. It's the, it's just a crazy emotion. That was like the same thing that that Immanuel Kant said, that the starry sky above me and the moral within me convinces me that there's a God. There's a different, it's just a mo. He couldn't differentiate between the emotional sources and rational sources. It was a big chesaron on his part, that he wasn't able to differentiate from which sources these things came. And he sort of, he went into like an internal kind of knowledge, but he couldn't differentiate from where the knowledge was coming. Is it coming from the mind or from the emotions? And he got confused at a certain point, and he started to think that certain inner feelings that are very strong, you see, stem from the realistic part. But they don't. They really just stem from the emotional part, and there's no basis in reality whatsoever, no matter how strong they are. See? Halacha doesn't tolerate such romanticism. The Rambam says God would never equate shogeg and mazid. That wouldn't be just. As a person who does something shogeg, well, it's carelessness, but carelessness is not the same level as a person who does things who purposefully does navera. You see? Avol kavanaso heina. So you can't say that what the memra means. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, when he says called machal shnei shemayim b'seis nefam manigah echad shogeg mazid zichu Hashem. That with regard to Chol Hashem, Shogi is like Mezid. How is that possible? It's completely illogical. You can't, you mean that God treats a person who doesn't have Erebe Shogi just like he did a Mezid, and that wouldn't be just. And Chalul to say that God would be unjust. So he says what it means like this, Ava Kavanaso, it means like this, Ava Kavanaso Haina, Shechil Hashem, in Yeh B'Mezid O B'Shogi, Nefram Mimeno B'Golot, Ima Yeh Mezid, Onesh Mezid. So don't make a mistake in thinking that Rabbi Yochanan Baruch said that if God punishes a person who was involved in the Aver of Chil Hashem, Echad Shogeg Echad Mezid, that he treats them the same way, that's impossible. So what it means to say is that with regard to Goloy, it's the same. That God punishes a person who does an Aver of Chil Hashem Besesa privately. He punishes him publicly. Okay, whether it's Shogeg or whether it's Mezid. It will always be begolah, always be a public, exact punishment from him publicly. That's what the Rambam says. Okay, but the Rambam doesn't really go into the essence of what the memory is. Just goes into that one point. Now, let's take a look at Binyan. Binyan discusses it a little more later. So, I guess. Binyan always bothers one question. What does it mean, Hamachalel Shem Shemayim B'Seisa? Seisa? Where's the Chil Hashem B'Seisa? Where's the Chil Hashem B'Seisa? Chil Hashem is always before Hesed. So the statement itself doesn't make any sense, because it says anyone's machal desecrates God's name privately. But desecration of God's name, Chil Hashem, takes place only when? Publicly. So it's a problem. What does the statement mean? Machal Hashem Shemayim B'Seser Nifron the Men of a Gully. What does it mean, Machal Hashem Shemayim B'Seser? You see? Ben Yonah starts off and he says, Chil Hashem Omer B'Talmud Hu Faresi. So it seems that Chil Hashem Faresi, the quote that he has from the Pasuk of Yecheskel, is that God says to the Jews, serve your idols, but don't do it in a way that it creates a Chil Hashem. So it seems that the Chil Hashem is a Faresi. So what does it mean, remember, when it says, Chil Hashem Shemayim B'Seisa? It seems that B'Seisa, there is no Chil Hashem. So what's the answer? In other words, it should be two different things. Where I act in a way that God's name is desecrated, that would seem to inherently require observers. That's really Chil Hashem, like the Ben Yonah says. But privately, it's a terrible thing. But why is it Chil Hashem? What's the answer? What's the definition of Chil Hashem? Definition of Chil Hashem means that God's name, of course we say God's name because the reason why we say Shem Hashem is because it's an admission that we don't understand His essence. So we say Shem Hashem. Shem Hashem means God, but we say Shem Hashem because we admit that we don't understand God. So we say Shem Hashem means the term that reflects the idea, which we don't understand. So it means that you take the Shem Hashem and you treat it in a way. What does Chil mean? It's whole. It means you treat the Shem Hashem in a way that it has no importance. That's Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem means that you treat God's name as if it is Chulin. Chulin. It's nothing. You see? That's why Velosi Shavu Bishmu La Shokar Vechilalta Shavu La Kachani Hashem shouldn't swear by my name falsely, because if you do that, you're being Machal L'Shem Hashem. Why? You're treating God's name as if it's nothing. Chilu. See? Chilu Hashem means L'Chalel. What does L'Chalel mean? A person's Machalel Hekdesh. He takes something that belongs to Hekdesh and he switches it, he redeems it, and now it becomes chulin. Chulin means it's every day. Nothing. Has no importance. It's like anything else. See? That's what Chil Hashem Hashem. Chil Hashem means to take away the proper meaning that is to be associated, the proper group of ideas that are to be associated with God's name. And you make it chulin. So if a person swears falsely by God's name, that's in essence what he's doing. It means he has no value to it. Or if a person serves idols privately, that is chulin Hashem, because he's moda belahus of these. He agrees that he admits that this idol has power, which means that God, the real God, is nothing. Now, what is Chilul Hashem b'Farhesia? So how does that's the definition of Chilul Hashem. That's the pasuk. What? In other words, there's two types of mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs where you don't follow God's recommendations. God gave you a book in which He clearly stated His recommendations for you as a human being, the best way to live your life, and He gave a whole system of Chachma, gave it over to the Chachma Yisrael. So you want to know how to live your life? That's what you do. Fine. But that is one kind of, if you don't follow that, that's an Avera, but it's one kind, it's a different kind of Avera.
What?
Yeah, the Rambam's B'Seit Nefesh.
What?
The Lachachas. Yeah, the Rambam says that you can even do a regular mitzvah B'Seit Nefesh Lachachas. That would be the same thing. The same thing, yeah. Because then you're not doing it because you're not following his recommendations. It means you're doing it for a different purpose, to show that this is worthless. So you can do machal even with regard to the recommendations, even with regard to the mitzvahs. You see, you could also be machal Hashem Hashem via the mitzvahs. Because what are you doing? You're saying, if I eat chazer because I'm overcome, I was overcome by the desire. Alright, it's an imperfection. I'm violating the system. I'm going against God's recommendation. I'm doing something wrong, something harmful to myself. I'll have to pay the price for it. It's fine. But I didn't do anything against the idea of God. That's something else. Tshuva, this, that. But if a person actually does an avera to demonstrate that this whole thing, this whole system is nonsense, I don't care, but say it nefesh, it doesn't mean anything to me. That's a different kind of avera. That's still less wrong. That means what he's doing is, he's saying that the whole, all these ideas that God gave are simply fooling. So the basic definition of Kul Hashem means to render that which is supposed to have a special place in terms of the hierarchy of values. God is supposed to have a certain place, Shem Hashem has a certain place, and you distort that system, you say he has no place. That's chul. He's just like anything else. And that is the worst avera in the Torah. There is nothing worse. That is the avera, the highest level of. That's what was shown to Shmuel. Shachar Shmuel, 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 Shmuel. Now the question is, how does Farhesya come into the picture? All right, how does Farhesya come into the picture? So what's the definition? What's the definition of Chilul Hashem b'Farhesya? How do you find Chilul Hashem b'Farhesya? So you see, there's only one. There's, you got. It means that you didn't take into consideration the objective, God's objective. That's what it means. It means that you did not take into consideration God's objective, that his system should be known and practiced throughout the world and respected. You see? So that means, since you did that, so then you show that God, you show that the name of God has no meaning to you. See? God has no meaning to you. Because you didn't take into consideration his primary objective, which is that all of humanity should benefit by the system of, by his system, should respect his system of Torah. That's what it means. That's why it's full Hashem b'Farhesya. That's what it means. It means to step. So that's why the Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the Pasuk in Yechezkel. What does the Pasuk in Yechezkel say? The Pasuk in Yechezkel says like this, that God is saying to the people, he says like this, that it would be better off if you served idols privately. Which means to say, even though you did an action which is desecrating my name, so you would think that that's the worst thing you could do. No, maybe the worst thing you could do is an individual for you personally. But you should realize that, on the contrary, that is not as bad as interfering with my objective that the world should recognize the true system. That's much worse. Doing the action feels worse, because emotionally you feel like did an action, such a horrible thing. But the worst thing is really, from a rational standpoint, the worst thing is to do an action that demonstrates to the, that creates a demonstration in the world which destroys the objective, which thwarts the objective of God, that his system should be known and respected and lived by throughout the world. That's his purpose. That's already You're interfering with the whole objective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And his giving of Nisim and doing all those things in Matan Torah was for one purpose, that the world should recognize the true way of life. So you're not caring about that is the greatest Chilul Hashem. That's a sign that you have no, that your action, you have no concern whatsoever for the Shem Hashem. That's worse than even doing an action which itself inherently denies the sanctity of God. This is worse, because see, the other way you may feel worse, if you're doing an action which Chilul Hashem feels like you did a worse thing. But God told the Jews, no, just the opposite is true. That he did an action, yeah, it's bad. But this is much worse, because you're not taking into consideration my objective. My objective is that the whole world should recognize the true system. See? That's Chilul Hashem b'Farhasa. Okay? Right, so now we know it's both under one concept. One is where you do an action per se. The action per se says that that there's no, that the Shem Hashem is Chol, is Chul. The other way is where you do an action in which you don't care about God's purpose, God's objective. That's the other Chol. That's Chol Hashem B'Chesed. Two different types of things. But they both come under the same heading of Chol Hashem. It's an interesting thing. Rabbeinu Yonah breaks open the whole idea of Chol Hashem. If he does b'seit nefesh means that he does it out of malice, you see, without any, he doesn't care, he's trying to show that the mitzvahs are nothing. So any mitzvah that he does in front of 10 people is a demonstration of Chol Hashem. But if it's one of the three, these three are considered on a different level than the other mitzvahs. They partake of the yesodos, these three. Yilei Raya, Shrichas Damon, Avodah Zarah. They're part of the Yesodei Ados. So since they're part of the Yesodei Ados, they represent the fundamental principles. So then even if it wasn't done to save nefesh, but you did it in front of 10 people, it means you didn't care. You had a lack of concern that there are onlookers, and through doing your actions, you are going to cause God's purpose to be thwarted. You're going to impede the process of spreading His Torah, and that's Chol Hashem. That's Chol Hashem. That means you don't care. That means you treat God as chulin. Hashem, Hashem, you treat as chulin. See, that's Chol Hashem. Okay.
Yeah.
Chilul Hashem means one thing. It means to render the Shem Hashem chulin. But it could be done in two ways. Either inherently, or inherently by the very nature of the action, or else by another method, by interfering, by not caring about God's objective. That also is this. By doing that, you're also negating the Shem Hashem. Because that's his purpose, you see? So there's two ways to do it. But it's two different dimensions, two different types of things. One is, that's why is Kiddush Hashem the greatest mitzvah? Because you're in line with God's will. That means that you're fulfilling God's will, that he broke his natural law in order to give the Torah so man can have the Torah. You are fulfilling his will by promoting the system. That's the greatest thing a person can do. It shows the greatest relationship between him and God. That's what it demonstrates. And this is what's important then. See? Demonstrates the highest level of relationship between him and God. They put together the Torah, put together the days of Tahara and the days of Tumah. And they put them together in one unit, one sum, one entity, to demonstrate the admixture in human life, the ambivalence, the admixture of the instinctual and the highest purpose in life. So the Torah actually put it together to demonstrate that concept, and it requires kapara, because the kapara is related, of course, to the impure part of a person's nature, which is inextricable from the other side of nature. It becomes one melos, one continuum. The fact that it's one continuum shows you that they're inseparable. And the 2-to-1 ratio between Zohar and Nekeva is merely to manifest that it's a constant. That's the same concept by Nekeva. But I want to say the reason why the Zohar is only 7 days is because of Mitzvah's Milah. Even though there's a Chazal that says exactly the opposite. Chazal that says that why is Bayom HaShmini Yimo Basar Vaso? It says because the parents shouldn't be shoring Bitzar and everybody's the Simcha. So that's why they did it after, that's why they did Mila on the 8th. Mm-hmm. Mila's on the 8th. And I'm saying that Mila is on the 8th to cuts off the Tumah. And the Chazal seems to assume the Tumah is fixed at 7. But there's another Chazal that gives a different reason. There's different Pshatim, it's Midrashim, there's different Pshatim. There's another Chazal that says, why Bayom HaShmini? It's a different reason, because So according to that view of Chazal, Yom HaShmini is fixed. So I was explaining according to that view. But Chuck Mizell's, Mr. Mizell's brought this, mentioned this Chazal, brought to my attention. It's true. As Chazal says the other way, he's right. But there's another view also. That's what we're going to say. The reason why? Yeah, the reason why is because in procreation, that's where the instinctual is involved to the greatest degree. That's the, as Chazal always depicts, the Yetzirah. Yetzirah essentially is in the Arayas. It's Erevah. That's the essence. Purushim, Kedoshim to you, Purushim and Arayas. That's the most popular. It's not exactly 5-to-1. It's almost 5-to-1. Almost, not exactly 5-to-1. But it's almost 5-to-1 in a melos of 40. Because you need a melos of 40. Right? So 33, the reason why it's 33-to-7 is not because of 5-to-1. It's 33-to-7 because 33-to-7 is 40. That's why. Because you need a melos of 40. Right? To demonstrate the supremacy of the of the higher motivation, the higher part of man over the lower. Okay. And now we're going back to Pergeos. From Achal Shem Shemayim B'Seisen Ephraim Mimeno B'Golu Echod Shogeg V'Echod Mezid B'Chil Hashem. Alright. V'Yered Latzio Miyad Mitzrayim. God broke his natural law in order to give us the Torah. So it is God's will that these ideas, these set of ideas, should be understood and be accepted by the entire world. That's God's will primarily. So an individual that acts in a way in which he simply disregards this will of God, that's the greatest chil Hashem. Even worse, that's what Benny Yonah said. Even worse than a person who swears falsely in the name of God. Where it's not a chil Hashem, no one knows whether he's telling a lie or not. But even though in that act he actually what he does is he acts in a way in which the name of God is meaningless to him. So you think that would be worse? This would seem to be like an indirect manner where he's machal Hashem Hashem by not being in line with his will. No, that's what the Rebbeinu Yonah says. Nothing tells you that's exactly the opposite. That a person that's Mechal Hashem Shemayim B'Farhesia, it's much worse. Even though, in terms of emotionally, you might say, a person would feel the other thing is worse. Because, look, I acted in a way that people don't respect the Torah, so that's like, indirectly, I'm causing people not to respect the Torah. It's not so bad if I actually swear falsely in the name of God, I'm actually involved in doing an action which demonstrates that I don't care at all about the Shem Hashem. One would think that's much worse. But you see, the Navi said no. That's what the Navi told Klal Yisrael. Disregard for God's will is worse. See, that's worse. So that's why Rabbeinu Yonah mentions that Chachmei Yisrael said they have to makbid in this area. This is the most important area. And the Rav one time mentioned it. That's why the Mendi told me once. Rav one time mentioned that's why they weren't able to do tshuva, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. During the time of Sfira, they all passed away. Why couldn't they do tshuva? So Rav said because it was Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem tshuva is no. Chil Hashem Shemayim is the worst of error. That's why a person must be very careful in that area, with regard to his personal status and recognize that he does something which creates a chil Hashem. I mean, this is the most horrible avera that a person can be involved in. Persons try to avoid it, especially persons a ben Torah has to be very careful, because you see, it goes according to the level. And it says over here that a person shouldn't be an onav in this area and say that he's not such a respectable, not such a respected figure. So it doesn't matter. And the reason is, the answer is very simple. Because when people find that you did something wrong, you become very respected. In order to, that's the nature of people. That until the time you're not recognized, but you do something wrong, say, oh, look at him, you guys, he's a yeshiva man, he's a person who says something all the time. Before that, they wouldn't even say he says something. Yeah? Now, a person simply does an avera, and he gives way to his instinctual nature, that's not chil Hashem. That's not chil Hashem. Only if it's under, if it's done under certain circumstances, where it involves others, then it's chil Hashem. But every avera is not a chil Hashem. Doesn't mean he was weak. He succumbed to his human nature, to his nefesh bahami. You understand? That part of his human nature, so he gave into. That doesn't mean it's chil Hashem. So that's what Rambam says, b'seit nefesh. That's the only time it's chil Hashem. Where he does it with total disregard, then it's considered chil Hashem. But then he's being machal, he's saying that this idea is nothing. Because I don't care about this. The Allah is not telling you, this is b'seit nefesh. That's rebellious. But if he just gives in to his Yetzer Hara, that's not chil Hashem, that's an avera. It's a Chazal say, Lomo Yom Mitzrayim. That was the greatest tefillah. That was the most powerful tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. Lomo Yom Mitzrayim Lema Baro Tzimam Larogah Samoa L'chal Sanapne. Why is that the most powerful tefillah? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking in terms of God's will. Lomo Yom Mitzrayim. Because the purpose of Yadis is for the whole world. So it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, if this happens, then the God's will will never be able to be to be brought into have recognition. That was the one. Chazal said that was the most powerful tefillah. Rambam says if a person refrains from doing an avera, but the Rambam qualifies his statement. He says he refrains for no other reason in the world than for mitzvahs abore. He says, then like Yosef Atzadik, he says areza mekadesh es Hashem. That level of performance of mitzvah was Mekadosh Hashem. The mice of Yosef HaTzadik was not the Farhesi, it was Betzina. On the contrary, Farhesi, they thought he did it. Everybody thought he did it. Everybody thought he was over. But he was Mekadosh Hashem, even though the whole world thought that it was over, it still was Mekadosh Hashem. So you see that Kiddush Hashem does not require, it means only Lomishim Dovah Sheba'olam, only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tzivoy. That is Kiddush Hashem. Just like the opposite, where he degrades the Shem Hashem and shows that it's chulin, the other way is that his action is motivated by one idea, the idea of God and his tzivui. So that's Mekadosh Hashem. That means that his action is in line with he has a recognition of God in terms of how he relates to him as the Borei Olam. One thing is impossible. A Maisa Mitzvah can never produce a Chil Hashem. In other words, if people degrade you because you did a Maisa Mitzvah, you did the right thing, and they think it's wrong, that is not a, that could never be a Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem requires, first of all, Maisa Avera. That's what it requires. Maisa Avera. That's what it requires. It's a certain way of, it's a certain condition that a certain condition that exists in Maisa Avera. Sometimes the condition is the nature of the action, sometimes it's the way that it's done. But it's an accident that exists in Maisa Avera. That's the Maisa Avera. And you understand? The Zera Shishamina called Machal Shem Shemayim Beseis Medaba Begvam Shem Ba'atman Chil Hashem. Kemo Avodas Kochavim? Yes, Avodas Kochavim is the Chil Hashem. Because what he's doing is, he's saying that these things are God, and that is a denial of the true Creator. Okay? So, Shehu Chil Shemo Del Elohuso. The Kemo Kemo Nishbal HaSheker B'Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright? Shegon Evdas Abrios Kilo, Kmo Shenema, Velashir Shemo 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 Shemo. Okay. Now we say like this. But what is Allah? Echod Shogeg Ve Echod Mezid Al Chil Hashem. What does it mean? So he says, just like the Rambam says, it doesn't mean to say that it doesn't matter if you're Shogeg or Mezid with God to Chil Hashem. So that's impossible. That wouldn't be, that's not just that God should punish a Shogeg like a Mezid. So he says, Lo Nishin Afon Menu Allah Shogeg Ke Mezid. Ela Sha'af Allah Shogeg Nifon Menu Begolui. Vechol Echod Kefi Avono Yisoh. מפני שאף השגוגו נחשבס לו אובון בזמן שאינו אונס שהיה לו לזור שלו יובה על יודו ולא נזר לפי חוכי והפס of carbon שיחפר לו. Alright, so what is he saying? Because that's what, see, apparently it's different over here, shogeg and mezid, than general, because it says echod shogeg ve'echod mezid bechil Hashem. The implication is that this is a special rule insofar as chil Hashem is concerned. You see, insofar as chil Hashem is concerned. You see? I mean, say like this. Now, what is, generally speaking, what does shogeg mean? Shogeg means that you're chayiv because of negligence. Negligence, right? In other words, a person wasn't careful and he had a piece of chelat or a piece of chazer in his freezer next to a piece of kosher meat. He wasn't careful and he took out the piece of chazer and he didn't realize he ate it. Okay? So there we say he's a shogeg, he's a shogeg. But what does it mean? If it's chaylev, will be chayv a korban, because it's a chayv koros. So what does it mean? It means like this. Over there, wouldn't say echad shogeg, echad mezid, b'achilas chaylev. Don't say that, echad shogeg. You only say echad shogeg, echad mezid, b'chil Hashem. What it means is like this. What it means is that shgogo is negligence. Now, negligence doesn't grasp, isn't toe-face the avera of chelev per se. You see, it's a negligence with regard to the Torah, which means to say it's a negligence with regard to chiyuvei krisus. So chelev is an example of chiyuvei krisus. So he was negligent with regard to that area. Wouldn't make any difference if he was negligent with regard to another chiyuvei krisus. There are other cases, all the cases in the wrong krisus are a person perhaps dugger. With regard to chiyuvei krisus. Scheler, of course. I can't even say it's not Shigas Chela, because although the whole halacha is expressed in terms of Shigas Chela, but the halacha is that the, in terms of the imperfection, you see, it's not a Shigas, it's a Chela, it's a Shigas Krisus. Shigas Krisus, you see. It means it was negligent with regard to an area where Chayav Kor, so that's a terrible thing. That itself is considered an avera. That's Shogeg, negligence. But with regard to Chil Hashem, it's different. With regard to Chil Hashem, it's not just considered a shogeg with regard to a maisa avera. It's considered the shogeg carries with it the element of Chil Hashem. It means negligence in this area carries with it the element of the avera itself of Chil Hashem. It's not just negligence in general. That he's negligent with regard to the Torah's commandments. No. When it comes to an awareness of the will of God, and a person is negligent over there, the negligence carries with it the nature of the Avera. That's what it means. Echad shogeg v'echad mezid b'chil Hashem. That's why the Rishon said, doesn't mean echad shogeg v'echad mezid, they're both equal. Can't be equal. Chas v'sholom, he said that God doesn't differentiate. It's not just. But with regard to the halacha, with regard to his avera, negligence in this area is different than just negligence with regard to kol ha'tara kol. It's a different kind of negligence. It means that the negligence carries with it a disregard for God's will, for the Ratzon Hashem. Okay? And there shogeg has the quality of chil Hashem. Masha'ina came in the other averas. The shogeg doesn't have the quality of the particular avera. It's simply shogeg. He's not careful with regard to the mitzvah of Torah. Yeah, it's a terrible thing. It's chayav korban. but it doesn't carry with it the particular. The particular. He's not considered, he's no different if he's a shogeg with regard to chaylev or a shogeg with regard to something else. It's just that he's careless with regard to the Torah's halachas, state of carelessness. But over here, it's not just carelessness with regard to the mitzvahs. It means that he has a disregard for God's will. He's not careful, the shogeg, it has the quality of chil Hashem. That's why it says, echad shogeg v'echad mezid b'chil Hashem. When it comes to chil Hashem, you can't say he's simply a shogeg. He's generally not. He's just not careful. No. It means it shows a disregard for God's will, even the shogeg. Echad shogeg v'echad mezid b'chil Hashem. So it's mida k'neged mida. Because what does it mean, really? It says, ha-machalel shem shamayim b'seisa. So machal shem shamayim b'seisa means like this. It means, of course, dafka b'seisa. It means he's afraid to do it publicly. Why is he afraid to do it publicly? He's only, because his frame of reality is what people think. You see? That's his framework of reality. In other words, that's why he does it only when no one's around. Somebody's around, he's afraid to do it. Because he lives in the world of reality of people. That's his world of reality. Psychological reality. So that's why Nefron Emenu Begoli means that it breaks his emotion when he receives his onesh begoli, so then his emotion is broken in terms of his framework of reality. So this is to bring him back to the true reality. You see? That's why it's me the Kenega Bida. Me the Kenega Bida. That's right. Okay. It's an interesting thing. So he asked me a question. So why do you say I'm a chawal shem shemayim b'seisa? Why don't you say anyone doesn't have erev b'seisa? Anyone doesn't have erev b'seisa? The answer is like this. The answer is because machawal shem shemayim b'seisa b'dafka. Because that means that, what does it mean machawal shem shemayim? It means machawal shem shemayim means that God, which is the source of all reality, he is and is the ultimate reality. So if he denies the ultimate reality privately, it means that he's setting up another reality to the exclusion of this reality. That is the height of going to the position that what people think is reality. You see? But in another case, it doesn't mean necessarily, a person doesn't have erbitzin, doesn't necessarily mean he's not setting up the world as the ultimate reality, simply. He doesn't like the Gemara says. The Gemara says that they told he said that your year Shemayim could be to year as bus of a dom. Be halavai. So what do you mean? He said, halavai. Says they say the person doesn't have air. What does he say? I hope nobody sees me. So you see that the psychological reality is a part of his makeup. All right, that is something which he's born with, which he can't help. But over here, this is precisely setting up he's denying the real reality, and in its place he's setting up the false reality. Then he's nifrad begolah. Then he's nifrad begolah. A person doesn't have error, it's in error. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's setting up the world as reality and God, he's denying God. He's nichshol. He doesn't want people to know, he's embarrassed, he's nichshol. He's afraid of people. It's true, we recognize them as real, but it's not a total upsetting of the systems. This is the case in which he's totally upsetting the systems. Okay? That's why it's the front menu. Okay. What does the statement mean? What does the statement mean? That a person who learns Torah in order to teach others, so they allow him to do just that. But if he learns Torah in order la'asos, what does la'asos mean? Means Mekayim the Torah, so then they give him not just la'asos, but they allow him, they bring him into the situation, they give him the opportunity to learn and to teach and to do the mitzvahs and everything. So it seems clearly, I mean, we don't understand exactly what the statements mean, but clearly Lomed Amanas la'asos is superior. In what way exactly, we don't know. Alright, Rashi's interesting. Rashi's very terse over here, but what Rashi says, Rashi just throws in one word, but he explains the meaning. So he says, Halomed Amanas Lalamed, he says, Likroso Rebbe Ulachabda. Interesting thing. He says, it would seem that Rashi's saying, I mean, as I said, we don't know, this is Rashi. It doesn't appear to be Rashi. But, Haloman Ramas Lalamed Likroso Rebbe Lachabdo. So that means that's the classical case of Shalol Lishma in the Gemara. That's the classical case of Shalol Lishma. It seems strange to say that, because if you say that pshat, it means that he learns that Shalol Lishma, because the Gemara says the person should always learn Shalol Lishma, because Pshat was Shalol Lishma. It seems that in the Shalol Lishma itself, really, there's no value. Over here, it seems to be saying that there is a value. But it says, Alomed Almanas Lamed, Maspikim Biyoda Luma Lamed. It's an interesting point. So that means to say that even Almanas Lekroso Rebbe is considered a level with regard to Talmud Torah. It's an interesting thing. If we should accept this pshat, it would come out that Torah, Shalom Lishma, is still something. It's still a level. Because you see, Almanas Lelamed, in which case he wants to say, hey, Nikra Rebbe, it's still a level. Because must speak in the other, Lomar Lamed. It means that Ashgacha works with him. As I mentioned last time, that's not a matter of a nace. Ain't some chanal a nace. It's hashgacha. It's a natural phenomenon. That a person that does that the hashgacha helps him, it's a natural phenomenon. It's just as natural as any other phenomenon in the universe. So it means, ma speaking yedo lumar lamed. Okay. There's one maimer chazal that seems to corroborate that. Because there's a maimer chazal which Ramban quotes, not exactly where, but it says like this. The pasuk says, orech yamin biyamina, Bismola Osher Vachavo. Remember Chazalim? His length of life in his right hand. It means a person that studies Torah has long years, a long life. And it says, Bismola Osher Vachavo. On the left side is wealth and honor. So the Ramban quotes of Chazal say that what does it mean? The Chazal say, Al Tikli Bismola Elevamas Me'ilim Ba. It's an amazing Chazal. Amas Me'ilim Ba means that people that are following the Torah, left always represents like the not proper way. So as a metaphor. So Al Tikri Bismola Amas Me'ilim Ba means the people that learn the Torah but not for the real reason. So they have Osher V'chava. It's an interesting Chazal. It means very simply that a person that's a great Talmud Chacham, many times because he's a Talmud Chacham, so he winds up with Osher and Kavod. Happens. So that's the pasuk. Arachem Dimina the small Osher V'chavah. So I'll take the small Lamas Milimba. That's what Chazal said. So apparently you see that there's a... It would seem from that Chazal that there is a level of Lo Lishma. A level of Lo Lishma that has a certain value. It would seem that way. Because the Pasuk's referring to Talmud Torah, to Torah. Orechem bimina b'smol osher v'chavah. So it's telling you the greatness of Torah, that even the smola, even the mas me'ilim ba, they have osher v'chavah. You see? That's the implication of the Chazal. That even those that the Torah is so great that even the ones that are mas me'ilim ba have osher v'chavah. So it would seem that it's a level. It would seem from that pasuk that it is a level. This Rashi also would seem to corroborate that. This is mas speaking b'yado l'umar olam. It's an interesting thing. Why should it be that way? Apparently it's like this. It means La'olam yasok odam b'torah b'mitzvos afilu shalol lishma. I would say this is only with regard to Torah, not with regard to mitzvos. So with regard to mitzvos, if a person did it only shalol lishma, it would have no value. But with regard to Torah, it's different. Because with regard to Torah, even a person who does it for kavod, even an individual whose main purpose, he's mainly preoccupied with kavod, but it's impossible, basically, unless he's completely ill. I mean, psychologically, talking about normal psyche, it's impossible for him not to have the appreciation of Chochmas Hashem. Even a person who learns Torah, because he enjoys his position vis-a-vis the Hamon Am. Vis-a-vis the Hamon Am. He's happy that people recognize him. It gives him satisfaction, and it causes him to learn. It's a very important factor, a very, very important element in his motivation for learning. He thinks in the back of his mind he's gaining respect from his position. You see? So even an individual like that, nevertheless, is on a level, because it's impossible that he shouldn't simultaneously partake of the appreciation of the beauty of Torah. So he has mixed motivations. Even if he's mainly propelled by the motivation of Kavod, but once he's involved in learning, he has to appreciate Chochmas Hashem. So it's a level. It's a level, per se. See, in the Maisa Mitzvah, you can't say such a thing. So in the Maisa Mitzvah, if he's doing the Maisa Mitzvah only because he's worried, he's doing it primarily for an ulterior motive, it's very hard to believe that Maisa Mitzvah has any value. He's only doing it for the other motivation. That's it. But with regard to Limud, it's different. Because with regard to Limud, even if he does it for another motivation, but nevertheless, once he's involved in Limud, once he's involved in Chochmah, he has the appreciation. He can't keep away from the appreciation. So his soul, the Selam Elokim, is aroused and he sees the greatness of Torah. That would make sense also, Lamas Me'ilim Ba. Orach Yom B'mina, the small Osh V'chavad, it means, Lamas Me'ilim Ba means the ones that aren't on such a level. To be a Tzadik Gola is a difficult thing. Lamas Me'ilim means they have mixed motivations. But still, the small Osh V'chavad, that's the greatness. And it says it's Torah. By the way, the Gemara says, for instance, Chazal says it's impossible for a person to become a Talmud Chacham if he's a Bal Gaiva, in Chochma Niknes, the Gaiva Lei. So you see, if a person is completely given over to Gaiva, it's impossible for him to even become a great Talmud Chacham, because he distorts his whole thinking process. So here, this Osher, small Osher Lachavod, is referring to Talmud Torah. So you see, it's considered, it's talking about the person that's on the level of Talmud Torah. It means he has to be a great Talmud Chacham. But he's Masmilabah. So you see that in Torah, it's not that way. Even though a person has mixed motivations, still is a gain in terms of his perfection, and his Selam Elokim, his Selam Elokim is gaining and experiences the Chochmas HaTorah, is functioning in terms of the Chochmas HaTorah. That's what you see from this Rashi, and from that Chazal will appear to be the same thing. That's Lamas Me'ilim Ba. It doesn't mean the Lomed Almanas Lakanta. Lakanta is a different thing. That's where he's completely involved in the emotion and there's no gain whatsoever. The person just wants to put down others, and he learns for the purpose of being able to refute others, to criticize others, then he simply has no schar whatsoever. That the Gemara says clearly. Because that means he has no motivation other than to destroy others. Then it's his Torah is totally valueless. But if he learns for kavod, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's not also simultaneously perceiving the beauty and the appreciation of Chochmas Hashem. It doesn't cancel it out. So that's why in Torah it's different. In Torah it's considered a level. I see there's a Girsan Rashi, there's a Girsan Rashi that says differently. Rashi says, Hochi Garsinim, Ein Ma Speaking B'yada Lomad Lomad. There's another Girsan. So you see, if that's the case, so they hold the other way. They disagree. In other words, they hold that on Lomed Almanas Likros Rav is on the contrary. Yeah. You see that in the Rashi says that. Halomed Almanas Lalani? Check. I mean, I have to check. I have a source that went over these Rashis to see, you know what I mean? These Rashis, it's not Rashi over here. There's somebody else that wrote this Pirush. Now, they want to say that Rashi is in there some ways. You know what I mean? But exactly what the... I have something. I would like to check it over. I'll check it over. I'll tell you next week. Because I have a sefer at home that went over the Gersos over here. So it'll make a big difference. If you say, Hachi Garsinim Ema speak, if that's the same Rashi, it'd be a different shot. I mean, if it's a different Rashi, so it depends upon that, really. Depends upon that. But in Svaro, it seemed possible to say that. Even Almanas Likro Rav would still be considered. In other words, I wouldn't change the pshat. I would say like this: the question is, what does it mean Almanas Lucros Rav. If that's his sole motivation and that's the only enjoyment he derives out of it, then it's Ema speaking. But if it's only something which is involved in his motivation, then that would be equivalent to Mas Me'ilim Bo. That makes sense. I mean, rationally it makes sense. But I'll check out the Rashi anyway. The rationally makes sense. All right, let's take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says this. Rabbi Yishmael Lomer, Halomed al Menas Lelamed. What does it mean, Halomed al Menas Lelamed? In contradistinction to Halomed al Menas Lasos. Right? So like this. Pirish, Chas V'Sholem, Shein Zeh Medaber B'Lomed al Menas Lelamed, V'Lo Lasos. It's not speaking about a person that's learning in order. Yeah, I mean, what's the statement? The statement's like this. Halomed al Menas Luma Lalamed is not speaking yet a Luma Lamed. Halomed al Menas La'asos, what does it say? Not speaking yet a Luma Lamed L'Shmazos. So it appeared that the first one, Halomed al Menas Lalamed, is not a Luma al Menas La'asos. That's what would appear from the comparison of the two cases. A person that learns in order to teach, that's one case, and a person that learns in order to do. So the person that learns in order to teach isn't interested in learning or doing, and the one that's learning in order to do isn't thinking about teaching. Okay? That would seem to be the implication. So Rabbeinu Yonah says this. Chas v'sholom, she'en zeh medaber b'lo med amenas l'lamed, b'lo lasos. She'zein must speak in the other lo lamed. Then they're not even going to help him to do anything. You can't say he has the ashgacha that they can help him be a melamed when he learns Torah, he doesn't interested in keeping the halacha. Ela amenas lasos isur v'heta kemashmo'o. He says like this. He says, what does it mean? It means to say that he learns in order to do the halachas, basically. The ayin harbe, lo shi yitrach the ayin harbe. Not that he's going to be matriach and be ma'ayin very much, look into it. Ula yimtso iser bedvorim hamutorim. Ach lo keach advorim pshuton, kipshuton. Nekach ein maspikin biyodo. Elekafim achshavto. Lu modu lalane. So what are you saying? What's my answer? Take a look. We'll take a look at the other side. Halom and Amnas La'asos, Masmid Halom and La'asos. Ratzalom Asher Daito Lefalpel Belimud Kedei Lo Das Amitas Advaram Uretzono Letroach Kama Yomim Vishonim. To work years and days. Lahasik Dovah Kut. Just understand the small thing. The Linod Atzmo Apiha Emes. Hareze lomed al menas lasos. Interesting thing. An interesting description of this. Shekol ikem machshavto ein ki im el hamaisa liyos emiti ulefichach maspikin biyodo lilmod lalame velasos shakol bechlal hamaisa. It's an interesting. What is he saying here? What is he saying? It's an interesting thing. See, there's different levels. There's different levels. That's what he's delineating here, different levels. What are you saying? He's saying like this. He's saying there are two attitudes towards halacha. Interesting. Two attitudes towards halacha. One attitude a person has towards halacha. The person wants to know, what's the halacha? What am I supposed to do? The person goes to the rav and he asks, look, what's the halacha here? Am I allowed to shave? Am I not allowed to shave? So the person is looking to fulfill the halachic system. See? That's a level. I mean, it's a level. Level. Because he recognized the halachic system, and he wants to be in line with the halachic system. But there, the person is only doing it because he wants to feel that he's in line with the halachic system. It's a certain feeling that he has. He's uncomfortable if he's not in line with the halachic system. He's comfortable and happy, and he doesn't have to be bothered if he is in line with the halachic. So he recognizes the reality of the halachic system, and he wants to be in line with it. That's a level. That's a level. Okay? So think like this. So he's saying like this. So he's saying that that's a level of an. It's a certain level. It means that he has to satisfy. A person has a certain self-respect and dignity as a human being. If a person reaches the level where they recognize that the halachic system is the true system, he can't live not according to halacha. It's impossible. So he has to do it. He has to do it. So that's a level. That's lumodu lulameid. And it's a level of lasos. But that's not the real lasos. There's a higher level above that.
What's the higher level? That's what they
mean. Where a person would be ready to spend years to understand one halacha, to understand one thing. Why? Because he's plagued by a desire to know the amicus. What exactly, what is the reality here? It means halacha is more than just to satisfy his conscience type of thing. You know what I mean? Not like just he wants to satisfy his conscience. I kept halacha, I kept halacha. God doesn't have any time for me. I kept halacha. You see? That's a level to him. It's a level. I'm not saying it's nothing. Can't put it down. There's very few people in the world that are on that level. Okay? But the real highest level is where a person is in the limud, what he's looking for is to be in line with emes. Emes means what is the ultimate reality. So if a shiloh, if he has a question, a shiloh confronts him, he isn't looking for, he's not waiting, let me get through the shiloh so I can ready, that's it, and I pass him the shiloh, and that's it, I did my obligation. You see, get to the chalosa. No, that's not the highest level. The highest level is where he's plagued by what is the reality, what is the halachic reality over here. He's drawn by a desire to understand the halachic reality. That means he's ready to spend years, hours, days on one area just to understand what is it. What's motivating him is the amitis hadava, the truth, the reality behind it. That's a different approach to halacha, different kind of a person, different level of another. See? That's what he says. That's what Ben Yonah says. Halo med al menas la'asos. La'asos doesn't mean to do the mitzvah. Everybody has to do the mitzvah. But it means to say al menas la'asos means that it means to implement practically. It means every action that he does. And it doesn't just mean to say with regard to hilchas tefillin or hilchas mezuzah. It means with regard to every aspect of his existence that he learns in order to make sure that it's in line with reality. So an individual who does that, that's Lama Lamanas Lama says, that's the highest level. See? That's the highest level, where he's motivated by one thing, by a desire for the truth. To him, when he looks at the system represents the blueprint of reality. The Torah is the blueprint of the reality and truth. I want to live according to that reality. I can't tolerate being not in line with that reality. That's the highest level. That's the level of Lasa. That's the highest level of person or chief. You see? It's a different kind of conformity to Allah. There's a conformity to Allah on a basic level, which most people who keep the Allah have at a certain level. What is Allah? They want to know. That's a high level also. I mean, it's a level too. But the highest level is different. It's a level in which he perceives that this is a way of this is reality. That's why he's driven by it. That's what Ben Yonah says. That's the Lamed Amanas Lassos. It seems that he isn't learning Almanas Lalameid like Rashi learns. That it means in order to be called the Rabbi. No! Almanas Lalameid is a mitzvah. The same as Ben Lavalaska, Lomo Lalameid Lishrava Lassos. He sincerely wants to be Malameid because of the mitzvah. It's a strange kind of an individual you're talking about over here. I thought what he means like this. He means Almanas Lalameid means like this. Yeah, well, you have to understand what he means. He means Almanas Lalameid means that he learns. It's speaking about a Mora Hara, a person who has to paskin a shayla. See? So Almanas Lalameid means that he learns in order to be able to answer the shayla. You understand what I mean? In other words, Almanas Lalameid means in order to be able to somebody ask him a shayla. So now he has to learn. He has to learn because he has to answer the shayla. That's a practical thing. So he simply executes his obligation in the framework of a form, a format. I have to pass in the shayla. I have to learn. I learn a pass in the shayla. Fine. Okay. That's what it means. It means that he does it in a mechanical fashion. That's Almanas Lalameid. Almanas Lassos means not just to answer the question, but to really be involved and to understand and to try to uncover what the ultimate svar is. What is the amitas hadava? That's what motivates him. It's a different thing. That's right. It's not. That's why, exactly. That's what Lama says. It means how does a person, what is a person, what, when a person is confronted with a shayla and he's a mor ra, what is before his mind's eye? To answer the shayla and fulfill his obligation as a mor ra, or to uncover the truth. He doesn't see the people who are asking the shayla is not important. Doesn't, not that they're not important, but in terms of his framework, he's drawn to the, they've raised the question of amita sadava. It could take years. The people get very angry. They want that right away. But he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Exactly. He has to work on it. It's a mita sadova. They've raised the question of a mita sadova. He's not concerned to answer the people. You see? Roma aslam, it means to execute his obligations. That's it. I'm going to have to answer the shayla. Answer the shayla. Did I answer? Yes, I answered. Fine. That's it. I tell me, they say, yeah, but the sheikhs that hold this way, and that's it. You can't attack my tshuva. My tshuva is very sound. A lot of us, yes, chakir is always chakir. But this is our paskin. That's it. I write the paskin tomorrow. He's never going to get stuck for hours and years and months. Months and years. He's not going to get stuck because his primary consideration is right. On to the next show. Move forward. But the other individual is a different kind of individual. Means that he doesn't see the ones, he doesn't see the practicality. To him, it's an instrument of uncovering reality. That's what the Rabbeinu Yonah says. There's two different types of people. It's nice of Rabbeinu Yonah. It's interesting. He says, Lo she yitrach v'yayin ha be'ula yimsa isa b'dvar ma'mutarim. It means once he concluded that the basis to be matir, he's matir, that's it. Don't look around too much. Never tell him. You get hit with an idea that everything is the problems, the problems. That's it. So they'll help him out. They'll help him out to be a posek. But it's not. But not lumar lame lishav lasis. That's a different level. That's a different level. Even the smallest shaylan, the smallest minute requires a great thought. Because any distortion in the system is a distortion. It doesn't matter if you're distorting the smallest minig or you're distorting the most important halacha. Okay. It's an interesting thing. I mean, you can't degrade the person. The lomar lamed is also a level. You see, it says, maspikin be yad lomar lamed. There are definitely these two different types of people. It might not necessarily be the highest level, but there is a pasuk like that. He paskins the shadow, that's it. He wants to get out of the shadow, he wants to paskin it. He executes his obligation properly, but that's not the same kind of individual as Lomar Lasis. But both of them, you see, are considered a level. It's an interesting thing that both are considered a level. The next part, Rabbi Tzadok Omar, Tase Matar Lesgadol Behem Lo Kardom Lachbar Behem. That we did at length a while back. We went through this at length, so we're not going to take it up at this time. Not allowed to be mishtamish, not allowed to utilize Torah for the purpose of any kind of personal gain whatsoever. To do that means to make it a means, and it can't be a means because it's the ultimate end. And it's impossible that it should be a means. Okay? That's why Chazal were very much against learning is schar. Yeah, taking schar. Taking schar is a terrible thing. Because taking schar for Talmud Torah means that what you're doing is you're using it as an instrument. You're degrading the instrument. You're saying that I'm doing this in return for a monetary reward means that this is subordinated to that. It's impossible to say otherwise. So that's why it was always, the learning has to be mani b'chinam afata b'chinam. Can't be for the purpose of taking money. The only thing that's permitted is schar batala. Schar batala means that a person has a job and he has to take off from his job to paskin a shayla, so he's allowed to ask the person that asked him about the shayla to compensate him for the time that he took off. But to paskin a shayla or to teach an individual Torah as a means of attaining money is basically to degrade the institution. So that's what it says. Alright, so you can't utilize Torah as a means for anything. For anything. Okay. Now, there's an interesting story. The story is that Rabbi Yehuda, I checked out the Rashi. The Rashi, this Gis we have in Rashi is correct. The Rashi learns like this. Rashi changes the Gis in the Mishnah. And Rashi learns in the Mishnah that a lomed al menas lalamed, al lomed al menas lalamed, ain't must speak and get a lomed lalamed. A person that learns because he wants to teach, so then when they don't, when the shemayim, they don't help him to become a rebbe, to become a rav. That's his purpose, so then they don't help him. So it seems to be a machlekes then. In other words, according to, because what does it mean alomed al menas lalamed? Alomed al menas lalamed means al menas lalamed lekroso rebbe ulachabdo. Lekroso rebbe ulachabdo. There's an interesting rush. It's actually a Tosfos in the fourth parak where it says that in Pesachim, fourth parak in Pesachim. Gemara asks the question. It says one pasuk says kigodol me'al shemayim chasdecha, and one pasuk says kigodol ad shemayim chasdecha. So the Gemara says kan losim l'shma, kan losim shelo l'shma. So the Gemara says that, in other words, that a person does l'shma, that learns l'shma is kigodol me'al shemayim chasdecha, and the other one, the person that learns l'shma shelo l'shma, is kigodol ad shemayim chasdecha. Gadol ad shemayim chasdecha. So the Gemara says, why lolam yasagon matorah mitzvahs afilu shelo lishma? Shemitov shelo lishma bo lishma. All right. So yeah, what's the difference between ad shemayim and kigadol me'al shemayim chasdecha? Okay. So really, what it means like this: kigadol me'al shemayim chasdecha means, you see, shemayim represents the a certain state in terms of natural law. So you can go to ad shemayim chasdecha. Shemayim represents the natural law. Me'al shemayim represents even more than the natural law. So kigodol ad shemayim chasdecha means that he has a certain, his hashgacha is limited. His hashgacha is limited to the realm. It's hashgacha. But the chesed is limited within a certain framework of the natural law. There's a certain limit. Can't go beyond. Gadol me'al shemayim chasdecha means that the hashgacha goes above the natural law. And now there's a different view between the person that does Torah mitzvahs l'shma and shelo l'shma. If he does a shelo l'shma, it means that he's learning from not for the right purpose. He's learning not for the right purpose. In order to gain kavod. That's why he's learning. So then, it's a mitzvah, but the hashgacha will not go beyond a certain point. There's a limit. A certain point is in God's order. Seder Abir, which God will not go above. But the Gadol Me'al Shemayim Chasdecha means where he learns lishma. It means that that's his sole purpose for gaining knowledge. That's what he enjoys. That's his main desire. So then it's me'al shemayim chasdecha. It means even higher. There's nothing stands in the way. But the chesed Hashem is limitless in that situation. Okay, that's the difference, really. Yeah, but the Rosh asks the question over here. The Rosh's question is like this. The Rosh says, how could you say that if a person should involve himself in learning shelo lishma, which means not for the right purpose, but he wants to gain honor. He wants to be called a leader. So the Gemara says that it's still a good idea. He still should learn, even though that's his motivation. But the Rosh asks a question. But the Gemara says, "Brach is no kol osik b'torah shelo lishma me'och lo shelo divra." Person learns Torah not for the right reason. We would be better than he wasn't born, which means to say that it's worthless. It's absolutely worthless. Even though the person is a gadol b'torah. Tremendous Talmud. Gemara means he's a gadol b'torah, tremendous Talmud Chacham. But nevertheless, if his purpose is shelo lishma, so it would be better that he wasn't born, which means that his existence is worthless. His existence is equivalent to his non-existence. So it's absolutely worthless. So the Rosh says, you have a contradiction. One place it says that you should learn Torah even shelo lishma. Another place says you learn Torah shelo lishma, you might as well not have been born. Okay? So the Rosh says, "Hasam Myra Shalomid Lis Yahiru Lis Poer." over there where it says that his learning is worthless, it means that he's learning in order l'siyair, means that he should get covered, and l'spoher means to show that he to enjoy the fact that he pride. He has pride in the fact that he can learn better than other people. Or he says lakanta chavera. Or he says he wants to break other people down. Okay, lakapchom ba'alachas, and to show them that they don't know the halacha too. The story in the end of Harius. So he says vein lomayt almanas lasos. He's not learning in order to be able to know what to do in the mitzvahs. V'achamayra dum yadayr bola'il. Over here it's speaking about a case like you were speaking about before. Shofo v'niska. It's an interesting gemara. V'lo ovid kula shata v'lo ovid ma'li shabata. Shosa mitzvah b'lo kavona shalo l'shma. Alright, what's the gemara? Gemara is like this. Funny gemara. Gemara says that there are two types of people. Gemara says you're not supposed to do work Erev Shabbos. Alright? Yesh zoriz v'niska v'yesh zoriz v'nifsad. There's a person that's energetic and he gains, and a person that's energetic and he loses out. Yesh shofo v'niska v'yesh shofo v'nifsad. There's a person who's lazy and he gains from his laziness, and there's a person that's lazy and he loses out. Okay, so like, he says, what's the case? Zoriz v'niska, a person that's energetic and he gains the Ovid Kuli Shabbata, he works all week long, below the Mala Shabbata. Doesn't work Erev Shabbos. Okay. Zoris and Nifsa, so we one time spoke about the whole idea of Erev Shabbos. That Erev Shabbos is really a concept in Shabbos itself. It means to say that a person, that there's two ways that a person can keep Shabbos. A person can keep Shabbos because he's been abruptly interrupted from his business, so he runs home last minute. He has to keep Shabbos. That's really not the gavra. Is not really fulfilling Shabbos in its best fashion, because it means he looks at it as an interruption. So he's not machal Shabbos, but that's all you can say about it. But a person who really is a keem Shabbos is a keem in the gavra. Not just the day that it's the isra malacha. But really, it's supposed to be a keem in the gavra, which means to say that Shabbos represents the perfect way of existence. So a person is supposed to look forward to Shabbos. If he doesn't look forward, Erev Shabbos is where you differentiate between a person that keeps Shabbos simply because he's cut off from business, or a person who keeps Shabbos because he's looking forward to Shabbos. That's the whole halacha of mechad shabecha l'shabbatecha, that a person should always be looking forward to Shabbos because Shabbos represents the perfect day, because the day which is designated to appreciating Chachmas Hashem, and not to his own technological creativity. Okay? Shabbos is really a day which is against technology day. Technology is very nice, but technology is still only involved in the lower part of man. The highest part is the appreciation of the abstract ideas. So that's why Erev Shabbos plays such a role. So the Gemara says that you have a person that's a Zoriz, a person that's a very energetic person, and he's Niska. Why? He gets scarred. Why? Because it means he works all week, and Erev Shabbos he doesn't work. Now the Gemara says, but yesh, nah, I just said, Zoriz v'nefsad, a person that's energetic and loses out. The Ovid Kuli Shabbata, he works all week, Vavid b'malu Shabbata. And he works Erev Shabbos too. So he loses. What does it mean that he loses? It means that he is involved in, he's a very productive person, you see. So he's productive, but his productivity is geared only towards the physical and towards the technological. So he loses out because that's only a means for the ultimate productivity, which is a productivity and appreciation of Chachmas Hashem. So he's very energetic, but his energy is driving him in the wrong direction. His energy, Erev Shabbos is where you can tell. On Erev Shabbos, you can see that the purpose of all his energy is to be productive in a technological way. So therefore he loses because he's involved in the means, but he never really gets to the aim, to the final objective. When it comes to the final objective, he's not there. Okay? Now the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says you have a shuffle. That's the case of the energetic person. Now you have the lazy person. shuffle of a niskar, a person that's lazy and he gains reward. Funny gemara. The low of a kuvi shabbatim, he doesn't work all week. The low of malah shabbatim, doesn't work erev Shabbos either. What? And he doesn't work too hard all week. He doesn't work erev Shabbos either. Doesn't distinguish. Yeah. The gemara says, but then there's another case of shuffle of a nifsad. Shuffle nifsad means he's lazy, and he loses out. He's at a loss. The low of it kuli shabbata, he doesn't work all week. The other the mali shabbata, erev Shabbos, he gets a sudden burst of energy. It's a sudden burst of energy. So yeah. So what is the gemara is a case. Hani nashi dimakuzo. The gemara says. Va'af agav. Rashi has questions. So Rashi says, why does he get schar? Because he's lazy. It's because lazy gets schar. Va'af agav the lav l'shum mitzvah mechaven. Even though the person is lazy and he doesn't abstain from work erev Shabbos because of a mitzvah, because he sees a lazy person, he says shelo l'shmo miyahavya. It's still considered shelo l'shmo. Damrin l'kam an yasok odam b'mitzvah v'afilu shelo l'shmo. Person should do a mitzvah even for because of not because of the right reason. Okay. Now, the Gemara says like this. Yeah, okay. So the Gemara says that the women of Mechuzah, the reason why they don't work on Erev Shabbos is not because of Erev Shabbos, it's another reason, because they don't do it all week also. But nevertheless, the Gemara says they get Tzchar. It's an interesting thing. The Gemara says they get Tzchar. Why? Because the Shuffle Veniska Karina is still considered as if they get Tzchar. So what does the Gemara mean here? I mean, it's a strange Gemara. Person's lazy, so he gets chamer because he doesn't work on Erev Shabbos. Now, what does it mean? The person that's lazy and he works Erev Shabbos. And he works Erev Shabbos. And the women in Mechuzah, they get reward because they didn't work Erev Shabbos. What kind of a thing is that a person get reward for being lazy? Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Where it says that a person should learn, the Rush says, Shelo Lishmo. It's just like that case of shuffle veniska. That case that we just mentioned, where the person is lazy and he gets reward. Why? The lo ovid kuli shato shabbata should be. The lo ovid b'mali shabbata. She'osa mitzvah shelo b'kavona shelo l'shmo. Does a mitzvah unintentionally. It's shelo l'shmo. U'kai gavna riyusham perekamad brachas. Okay, fine. Yes, yeah, so it goes well. I said that the low shmos is better shlo nifra. Okay. So what is the rush? How does the rush explain that? How does the rush understand? From the rush's answer, you see he has a certain understanding of the Gemara. Yeah. I have to understand. What's all the word talking about? Is a person that's energetic and doesn't get schar, a person that's lazy and gets schar. What does it mean? Yeah. So the answer is like this. Of course, if a person doesn't work on Erev Shabbos because he's absolutely lazy, he simply doesn't get out of bed any day of the week, it is very difficult to say that he's going to get schar for Erev Shabbos. I mean, it doesn't make any sense altogether. This whole concept of Erev Shabbos, like we explained, it means he's looking forward to Shabbos. He's waiting for the perfect day. All week long, he waits for the perfect day. What it means is like this. The Gemara means that a person's, in human nature, a person's actions are multi-determined. It means to say that a person does things not just for one reason, but there are a lot of motivations involved in why a person's involved in or doesn't do a certain action. The Gemara means, by yesh shuffle v'niska, it doesn't mean to say that the person is simply so lazy that he can't contemplate work. It means that's a big factor in his motivation. But in the back of his mind, on Erev Shabbos, even though he might, and even though it goes so far as to say that he might not have gone out to work, but he realizes it's Erev Shabbos, and he prepares for Shabbos. He's happy that he's lazy. You see? knows that he has this emotion, but still in all, the Erev Shabbos, the person abstains. There's a certain level, there's a certain recognition, there's a certain level of abstention. Which means to say that his actions are determined by two things. His laziness, but also he has a regard for Shabbos. So he's multi-determined.